think we are ready to get going.
Recording in progress.
Well, welcome everyone. I'll call to order the City Council meeting for the City of Atascadero, and I will be honored to lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand as able. Meeting for the City of Atascadero. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
I think your mic is not on.
Oh.
Or maybe closer to you or.
Hello. Mm-mm. Hello.
Oh. There we go.
One moment. Here we go. Okay. Councilmember Borbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, for those of you attending here in person, or if you're listening to us live, we welcome you this evening. First thing we have is a proclamation declaring July as Parks Make Better Life Month. And Larice, I see you here to accept. So I am going to go ahead and read this. This is a proclamation of July 2024 is Parks Make Life Better Month. Whereas Parks and Recreation promotes physical, emotional, and mental health and wellness through organized and self-directed fitness, play, and activity. And whereas Parks and Recreation supports the economic vitality of communities by providing frontline jobs, childcare for the essential workforce, and promoting community revitalization. And whereas Parks and Recreation fosters human development and endless learning opportunities that foster social, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth in people of all ages and abilities. And whereas Parks and Recreation strengthens community identity by providing facilities and services that reflect and celebrate community character, heritage, culture, history, aesthetics, and landscape. And whereas Parks and Recreation facilities community a whole bunch of us looked and we didn't catch this. But problem and issue resolution by providing a safe space to come together peacefully and serving as key points of service, helping our community heal both physically and emotionally. And whereas Parks and Recreation sustains and stewards our natural resources by protecting habitats and open space, connecting people to nature, and promoting the ecological function of parkland. And whereas Parks and Recreation supports a safe, vibrant, attractive, progressive community that makes life better through positive alternatives offered in our recreational opportunities. And whereas Parks and Recreation remains versatile and innovative in providing vital services to our community of Atascadero through local, national, or global emergencies, all while adhering to guidelines set forth by governing agencies. Now, therefore, on behalf of the City Council and recognition of the importance of access to local parks, recreation, trails, open space, and facilities for all Atascadero citizens, I hereby proclaim the month of July 2024 as Parks Make Life Better Month. And yay, yes, Larice. And Larice, we'd love to present this to you. Did you want to say anything? Yeah, come on over. Mm-hmm.
There we go. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll keep this short and sweet, but the Community Services Department and our entire rec team would like to thank the City Council for recognizing July as Parks Make Life Better Month. Without all our open spaces and great parks, our crew would not be able to serve the community in all the ways that we do, from our programs, our activities, to our special events. Our current summer lineup is packed full of things taking place outside in our parks and our different facilities. This coming Saturday, we have our ice cream zoofari taking place at the Charles Paddock Zoo out at the Atascadero Lake Park. Great opportunity to get out, enjoy the park as well as the zoo. Our current summer youth kickball league is literally taking place right now over at Colony Park on the fields.
And we're here, darn it.
Yeah, I know, we're here. They've got some water blasters out there and things too to kind of help cool off and have some fun playing some kickball. We've got our the following Saturday, we will get right back into our summer concert series, which is a huge community favorite. And then we also will have our Dancing in the Streets event that'll take place down at Sunken Gardens, as well as different camps that are taking place out at Paloma Park on the soccer fields, softball fields as well. And don't forget, in August, we'll have our family movie nights taking place outside a couple Saturdays over at the Colony Park fields as well. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you and the entire team with recreation and events and everything that you all do. You really do, I mean, make life better for our residents, and we hear about it every single day. Every one of us does. So thank you for the hard work and the commitment that you put in.
Of course, Terry would
like us to do a picture, I know.
Yes, of course. Terry always wants us to do a picture.
We'll move on to our consent calendar. The consent calendar typically contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved generally in one motion unless a council member wishes to pull an item. I'm going to start by opening up any public comment on the consent calendar. Is there any member of the public here wishing to speak on a consent calendar item? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment and ask if there are, I believe there is, we have a member of the council that would like to pull an item.
Yes, I'd like to pull item A3 for discussion and questions.
Okay. Any other polls that we'd like? Okay. Any other comments on 1, 2, or 4? All right. Can I get a motion on 1, 2, and 4?
I'll move approval of items A1, 2, and 4.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, yes, sir.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. All right, so item A3, Councilmember Bourbeau.
Yes, I wanted to pull this item for discussion. I had some questions addressed with the city manager this morning. I think some of them were along the lines of perhaps similar questions other council members had. And I know the city manager was looking into some things I'd asked about, and so I would ask him to give an update as to what they learned and what they could tell us.
Yes, thank you, council member and members of council. I do have some things to share. So this item, our recommendation was, this is for the paving project for F-14 for 2024. And we did do a competitive bid process, and the lowest bid came in at $4.25 million. Which, adding in contingency, was roughly $1.4 million more than we budgeted. And so based on that, as staff looked at this, while the work is important and all needs to be done, we were very concerned, one, at how far over budget this was. As you know, Director Engel and myself are very conservative. We were also concerned that we just closed the books on June 30th, and we hadn't quite gotten all the information regarding F-14 projects from 23 or what the estimated fund balance would be through this fiscal year. So we were very nervous at that spend. We know how important F-14 is to the community and how important these paving projects are. And so we wanted to give this a really good look. And so rarely will staff change its recommendation at a council meeting, but I do want to share that I am changing my recommendation and why. And so I really appreciate Director Engel and Director DeBar and Engineer Hayes putting time into this over Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Reports are published a week before the council meeting, so there's a lot more information that can come forward. And so one of the real basis for our reason to reject the bids was the budgeted amount over budget. And so we really drilled down into, with more information we got in this past week, the fund balance of F-14, if you did this whole project and where that goes throughout this fiscal year. And that fund balance will dip relatively low, somewhere between $500,000 to $700,000 if you approve this. We thought it might have been a bit more less than that when we made this recommendation. And that is still a very low amount for this fund. But the fund is used largely for paving, and so this is the heart of that reason. And so after looking at a better cash flow analysis on this and looking at this bid and the low bid contractor is a very fair price, and it is very close to the engineer's estimate. And if we did reject the bids and repackage this, there's no telling that the price will be the same. It could be worse, could be better, but the work still needs to get done. And so we know this is important. So after looking at the financial particulars of this and the bidder and the price, I am recommending you go forward with the full bid with the caveat, the council, and this is what I appreciate your debate on, that you're comfortable seeing the fund balance drop to that amount. It could potentially impact the number of projects in 25, depending on how F-14 tax comes in, knowing that, and knowing that you're comfortable adopting a project that far over budget, which you have the authority to do as council. We were just a little more concerned as staff in that recommendation, but we do feel better now having a couple more days looked at the finances, and I would recommend that you, this is my recommendation actually, that you would reject the bid protest from Sousa Construction and waive any irregularities in the SynCal Construction bid proposal, award a construction contract for $4.25 million to SynCal Construction for the 2024 Measure F-14 pavement rehab project, and authorize the Administrative Services Director to allocate an additional $1.43 million in F-14 funds to the 2024 F-14 pavement rehabilitation project. Director Engel and DeBar, I appreciate your extra effort and research on this, and they're available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
So I'm curious about the bid protest and rejecting that. So any of the irregularities that were noted, can you tell us how staff resolved those? And could that, you know, is there the, I think, you know, part of the potential or the concern is that is there potential costs that come forward and then we're even higher than we are now?
Yeah, so I'll address some of the concerns that were raised in the bid protest. There were basically a couple that the second bidder had raised, and I'm pulling up the language of the protest here. One of them was that SynCal had listed a subcontractor with a suspended license. The basis of that suspension was apparently the lack of insurance. It turns out that there was insurance in place and that the Contractor State License Board had incorrect records about the status of that. So it was an error at the state's level. So in staff's estimation, that's a minor irregularity in the bids. The next situation that Sousa had raised was the fact that SynCal had failed to provide certain certificates from the California Air Resources Board. It was an oversight on SynCal's part. They did have the certificates, as did the subcontractors. It's not as if they did not have the certifications. They did have the certificates, just didn't include them. That doesn't affect the bid price at all, doesn't affect the competitiveness of the bid. So that's another irregularity that staff believes can be waived in the bid. The final one is the designated subcontractor information sheet that SynCal had provided. There was a concern about the percentages that were listed on that form and how they added up. It did not affect the underlying bid itself. The bid amount was correct, and therefore staff believes that that's another minor irregularity that the council can go ahead and waive and award the bid as Mr. Lewis had suggested. Just as far as a little bit of background on what the council can do in terms of the bid package. It does say in the bid package, right on the front page, that the right is the reserved by the City of Atascadero to reject any or all bids, to evaluate the bids submitted, and award the contract to the lowest responsible bidder. The city further reserves the right to waive any informalities or minor irregularities in the bid. So council put that right out at the beginning, and so all the contractors had the opportunity to see that language. And if the bid is not affected competitively, then the protest can be overruled in that situation. And so staff's recommendation is to go ahead and overrule the bid protest and award the contract, as Mr. Lewis outlined.
So is it common to have small irregularities like that when we receive bids? Is that a pretty common thing?
I can't think of a particular contract award where there hasn't been some small issue. Okay. It's a question of whether or not there's a protest about it. Sometimes there are protests, sometimes there are not. But if they're small enough and the difference in the bids is large enough, the second or third contractors won't protest it. But I've very rarely seen a bid submitted that didn't have some irregularity in it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Newsom, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Learn how to turn my mic on again. How will this additional increase in funding be affected by the sunset of F-14?
Are you saying if the F-14 doesn't pass and what will happen to this?
Yes. Do we have enough funding to cover this prior to the sunset of F-14?
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, question for staff. We had a situation not dissimilar to this on the downtown paving project where we had ended up rejecting the bids, and that was done in part because there was a way to repackage the project and separate out the timing of the work so that it was possible to get a better price, because it would make the work less expensive or make it easier for the contractor to manage and therefore get a better price on that body of work. Do you see the same situation here?
That's a good question. It's a different situation. Last year when the downtown paving project, the recommendation to reject the bids and rebid it was based on, it was a funding issue as well. But last year the contractors were so busy with all the emergency storm work that we needed to provide them some cushion on when their schedule would allow them to work. So once this is awarded, the contractor has a certain finite time to have a note to get contracts back to the city and then to start the work. Well, last year the contractors had so much backlog of work that there was no way that they could start that contract on time. So we rebid it with some flexibility on when they could start that project. And the other piece of that too was that it was kind of two pieces of the downtown. There was a concrete component for the curb, gutter, sidewalks, and then there was the paving component. So mm-hmm. bidding those separately, you don't have the markup on the concrete work if a asphalt contractor is in general. So there's usually a typical 10 to 15% markup. So it did save us some money, and the main thing is it saved about $1 million by having some of that flexibility with when they started the project and actually started. It's a little different this year. The contractors are caught up a little bit more. This is just a big project. If you look at all the roads that we're doing, it's a very large project. It's probably our largest F-14 project, I think, by far. It comes with a heavy price tag with that, too.
Okay, so there was an opportunity last time that doesn't really exist here. We're going to have to pay to have this work done now or later.
And yeah, I mean, if
it's probably not going to get cheaper.
If original recommendation would have been to rebid it and then repackage it as a base bid, the bids form would be a little different. It'd be a base bid with some bid additive alternates, and what that does is like we would award, like say half the project would be part of the base bid, and then there'd be other streets that would be separate schedules that may or may not be awarded. And that way we could kind of, you know, fit the project to what our budget is. In this case, with some of the fund balance we have, we don't have to do that after some further analysis we did.
Okay, thank you.
Just one question on with respect to the funding. On as far as F-14 goes, I think it was passed before, long before I was on council, but there was obviously an estimate of what it was going to produce throughout the years and how, you know, each year possibly go up. How has it been performing, and what if it should pass and continue on, you know, if you're worried about the shortfall, how do we expect it to perform in the future, in the next year or so that we're not going to be worried about the funding for this project because of the increase in the budget?
Well, overall, when we first passed it, we weren't really exactly sure what to expect, other than the fact that it would kind of follow the trends of the Bradley Byrne sales tax. It's actually doing much better than we anticipated. It does still follow sales tax trends, of course, which have been a little softer in their growth this year and last year. So we are expected to see that pick up again and start really coming in faster than it is now. But it has been much more substantial than we expected at the beginning.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a question. You know, if I recall correctly, we've had some very good years where the bids came in even a little lower than expected. And then last year they came in about on target. And now this year, you know, is obviously coming in over target in terms of the bids, the competitive bids. But that's part of a trend in increasing construction costs in general, I assume. And therefore, one of my concerns was that, you know, if you wait, we don't have any reason to believe that the cost is going to go down. So is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, in the recent or, you know, most of the past, costs are just going up. So if we would rebid this out, you know, with that base bid alternate, and then delay some of those streets until, like, say, next year, they're most inherently going to be more expensive. I mean, there's
right.
no
right. And so, no I mean, doubt. It's pay me now or pay me more later.
Exactly.
Yeah, scenario.
With right. a fund balance and, you know, drawing down that fund, we, you know, as right. I mentioned, we did some additional analysis and but found that we do have the right. Money to be able to do this.
But in asking, I think, follow on to Councilmember Darris's question, we may reach the point, as every city would, where, you know, if we say we got $3 million a year or $3.5 million a year to do this, we may, instead of getting 3.5 miles of improvements, we might only get 3 miles of improvement. So, I mean, we may have to, you know, download our appetite just a little bit if construction costs continue to rise. But if we waited on this one, we would just, in all likelihood, just pay more for it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And as part of the budget cycle, we'll be looking at that 5-year CIP this winter. So we'll be updating all those costs.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so potentially then we're going to see potentially a decrease in the number of roads that can be done in that 5-year outlook.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. It's just what's happening with the cost of doing construction and all sorts of things now, inflation. Unfortunately, sales tax isn't rising commensurately. Some goods are more expensive than others. All right, I think I'm gathering a consensus that we would probably move in that direction. I think I'm seeing nods, yeah? Councilmember Borbeau, would you like to make the motion?
I would make a motion that we adopt the city manager's revised recommendation, and that is to, not sure of the word, dismiss the protest and award the F-14 2024 contract to SanCal.
I'll second.
SanCal.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau and a tie for second. I'll go with Councilmember Newsom.
We need one more thing in the motion, if we could.
Oh, sure.
And that would be to authorize the Administrative Services Director to allocate an additional $1.43 million in Measure F-14 funds for the
right.
project.
I'll amend my motion to include the additional appropriation by the Administrative Services Manager.
There's a second. It's going to be as well. All right. A motion by Councilmember Borbeau, second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darius?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fung?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, sir.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. All right, we're on to updates from our city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of council. I do have a few. My first is an admission of my zeal at the last council meeting, coming off the glow of the winemaker dinner, saying that we raised $150,000 for Echo. We did bring in $150,000 that night, but I neglected to, as Wendy's sitting here, share that we had direct costs and hard costs had to come off that amount. So, but we still raised somewhere near $80,000, and we're very proud of that. And so I was in my zeal sharing a bigger number. But I think that's still a good number, right, Wendy? So I wanted to clarify that.
I have a feeling she's not complaining.
I tended to get excited there. I hope everyone's staying cool. And it is this heat has definitely created a busy season already for our fire and police departments. And so I do want to share that we've had several fires in the last 2 weeks and a very exciting week last week. We had a structure fire at Crystal Bowl and a variety of vegetation fires. We had a sparkler start a fire on the 4th of July. So, you know, when we say we don't allow fireworks in the Atascadero, it's for a very good reason. We're seeing some of the, you see a picture of one of the fires on the screen there. And so I think what I really wanted to share is, one, our police and fire departments are doing incredible work. And you know, our police department sometimes has showed up early and got a garden hose or used their fire extinguisher in their car, in addition to our fire department really making sure the fire stays put. But more important, and I know every year when the weed abatement notices go out, people get frustrated, we get calls. It's a huge intensive effort of the staff to go look at all these lots and ensure that lots are clear. In each of these instances, critically, the vegetation management kept the fire at a minimum. And I think it's just so important that the council has this policy, you work through it, and it is an incredible first line of defense to protect our community. So I thank our neighbors for doing it. I know it's work and that you have to do it by a certain date, but this is exactly why. The photo in front of you would have been much worse had we not had vegetation management. So, and I would just remind people, even for our own employees, I remind our employee family to stay cool, stay hydrated, dress well. I remind our community of that as well. While we're in the extreme heat. PrepareSlow.org has a tab, Extreme Heat. It has all kinds of tips on how to cool, take care of yourself, your pets, and make sure you're working through these hot days. Moving on to the general plan, we continue to make good progress there. And next, we have a scoping meeting. So this is an opportunity on Wednesday, July 24th, from 4 to 7 here at City Hall. Our staff and our consultant team will be talking with members of the community about the EIR topics. So looking at what topics should we study as we look at the impact of the general plan and the policies. So if there are things people want to discuss or questions you want to ask, feel free to show up on July 24th for the scoping meeting for the EIR topics, 4 to 7, July 24th. And this plan is, you know, really sets a new vision for our community and how it will build and develop. And so we really appreciate people being involved and looking at environmental topics that we should be looking at. Regarding the El Camino Real parking project here, we are rolling, and you can see there's a picture there. We're working to get as much information out as we can through QR codes. We have our banners along. We're updating the project schedule. We're putting together a postcard that actually shows a rendering of the project and kind of the work and where to get more information that can be handed out in businesses. We're also working on a parking map for employees, so there's still more outreach that's ongoing. But so far, so good as far as the project and how it's moving forward. And here's what's happening. So if people want to know, this next week, we're trenching in the median, the El Camino Real, from 41 to East Mall. This is putting in the electrical upgrades, the electrical system, so we can have power down the median and have the beautiful lights and the Ramblas. We also are doing storm drain crossing construction in El Camino Real near East Mall. That I think may have ended today, could go into tomorrow. And sewer lateral line construction on El Camino from West Mall to Traffic Way through July 11th. We're also doing concrete work downtown at El Camino Real from Traffic to Rosario. We are notifying businesses within a few days of us showing up in front of them. This is the kind of accessibility sidewalk and the wider ramps that are more appropriate to today's standards. And so that's going on, followed by sewer main line construction on El Camino from Traffic Way to Rosario. So the work that we did for the two nights was very successful. We had said we'd be working three nights. We only needed two, and so things are moving along, and you're seeing your new El Camino Real take shape. You already heard that Ice Cream Zufari is this weekend, so it's this Saturday from 5:30 to 8. It's all you can eat ice cream, so you know that's pretty good. And we appreciate the Scoop Ice Cream Shop. They're on the corner of El Camino Real and Curbrill. Wonderful family owns the Scoop Ice Cream Shop. They do have delicious ice cream, lots of different flavors to try. We'll have live music from Andy Morris, Keeper Talks. Tickets are available now for $16 for 13 and up, and $11 3 to 12 free to and under. Zoo members receive a $2 discount. So you can go to visitatascadero.com/events to purchase your tickets and make sure you get them. The California Mid-State Fair is rolling into town July 17th through July 28th. You can go to midstatefair.com. Local shuttles from Atascadero to the fairgrounds are not available, but the fair offers a variety of ways to plan your visit to the fairgrounds at midstatefair.com. You can click plan your trip to see other options for transportation. But July 17th to 28th, and we're a proud sponsor of the fair, and we appreciate the council's support and involvement in that. Other events, Hot El Camino Cruise Night is coming, so registration is open. You can register your car now through August 16th. You need to go to the Colony Park Community Center in person in advance of the cruise. So this is something people show up the day of and they can't get in. So registration is open, and we appreciate people's participation. We will have El Camino buttoned up, so it will be a full cruise and ready to go, so that'll be great. And finally, we do have a municipal election in November of 2024. The filing period for that will open July 15th and will remain open until August 9th. And the election is on the same ballot. It's a consolidated ballot. Voters will be electing a mayor and two council members. If you have information or questions about this, you can call the city clerk's office at 805-470-3400. And that's a good source of information for that. That's my report. Thank you, Mayor and members of council.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. With regards to the general plan EIR scoping and update meeting, it's kind of referred to as an open house. So is that something where residents and or interested parties can kind of come and go? They don't need to be there for 3 hours to get the full effect and input?
That's right. Maybe Planning Manager Gleason, do you want to give a commercial or Director Dunsmore quickly about that? But that's right.
Come one, come all. Come anytime, come for a little bit of time, come for a long time. Yes, you can drop in. We will probably have some presentations to tell people, but it's not a formal presentation where you have to be there at a specific time. We just want to have an open house where people can comment on, hey, I think this should be analyzed in the future EIR because I think this could, you know, impact the city. It's that kind of a situation. So, and besides that, this isn't the only opportunity. We'll be open to hear comments about our notice of preparation for the IR for a couple of weeks. So, in fact, do you know the cutoff date for that? We don't know the cutoff date for that yet even. So, this is just one opportunity of several.
Okay, and where should folks kind of be on the lookout for more opportunities?
So keep an eye on our city website, keep an eye on our social media. You can always contact us at Community Development. You can give myself a call, Kelly a call. We're always there to help you out and guide you where you can provide more information to us, and we can also guide you to some more in-depth information about what this EIR will be based on and what the preliminary land use plan is right now.
And when will that come back to a council meeting?
We don't have an actual date set for you right now. The next steps in the process are to continue refining and drafting draft policies for the EIR, for the general plan update itself. Then we'll start drafting the EIR, and then we'll come back to the city council at some point in the next few months with the draft policies. And again, another look at that draft land use map and draft land use plan. So that's our plan right now. As soon as we have dates for you that gel, we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
If thank you, Director Dunsmore. If people signed up on the Atascadero 2045 project website for the general plan update, will they get alerts about this event?
Yes, we're using that list in addition to trying to get the word out there on social media and in the newspaper and course at tonight as what we're doing to get people to come. So anyone can come, but yes, we'll certainly be directing our outreach to those that have attended and have let us know that they're interested in the future events.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to community forum. This is the portion of our meeting that is reserved for individuals who are wishing to speak to the council on something that is under our jurisdiction, but something that is also not on our agenda this evening. Speakers have up to 3 minutes, and we allot a total of up to 30 minutes for community forum. Speakers could feel free, please come to the podium, state your name for the record, and we'll have the timer going for your edification. Welcome.
So thank you, Council, for this opportunity. I'm here to talk about how the heat is affecting the people that Echo serves. It's Wendy Lewis with El Camino Homeless Organization. And during the summer when the excessive heat hits the population that we're trying to help, it is a really traumatic impact. So Echo is really trying to provide everything in our scope to bring comfort and support to the unhoused people facing that heat. We've added misters at both campuses, Atascadero and Paso. We have a partnership with the CAT team with the police department. They're going out with ice cold water bottles, cooling rags, anything we can do. We are reaching out to the community for support with that. We're in critical need of water bottles and dehydrating things like Gatorade and that type. People can just drop it by anytime and we will get it to the people that we're serving. I'm also here to just add several gratitudes tonight for this incredible community. One is to the Kiwanis of Atascadero. As city manager mentioned, the event a few weeks ago was just so heartwarming. The people in attendance, many of you in this room, just made the evening so special. And yes, we are very grateful for the $80,000 that was raised to go back into some programming to rehab our shower program area to keep that vital service happening where people come who aren't staying with us, who are able to get a shower, change of clothing, and that opportunity to build community and get them ready for next steps like the Echo 90-day program. Also want to share thanks and just honored to live in a community where we have such stellar emergency services. Both our police department and fire department just go above and beyond. When we see something like a medical crisis or a different type of crisis at our facility, they're there to support in just such a compassionate and caring way. And we are just so grateful and glad both the chiefs are here. And then also, just an update. When we come to you, we try to keep you guys posted, and we continue to see record numbers of people getting back into housing. That's our ultimate goal at Echo. We provide meals and we provide everything from support and case management, but that housing and that moment you get your key is what we are all about. I had the pleasure of leaving a little while ago, and outside my window I can see a lot of activity of my office, and there was a family of five that were hugging everybody and so excited about, they'd just gotten their key and they were about to leave Echo. And it was just one of those moments that a family of five, and it was only possible with the support of the community, this council, the city, our volunteers, we are at 130 individuals or children housed to date. That's the most this fast ever in our history in not even 7 months. So thank you all for helping that make that possible.
I told you it would be higher. I saw Wendy last Wednesday, and she says, oh, I'll tell you the number. I'm like, yes, and it'll be higher when you come on Tuesday. So always love to hear that. Any other members of the public wishing to speak at Community Forum? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and close Community Forum and bring that back to the council. And yes, thank you to you and your staff for all the work that you do. You've helped to make Echo an incredible asset to the entire North County region. And so thank you. All right, we are on to our one public hearing this evening. This is an amendment to the Grand Oaks Paseo Master Plan of Development. I will first ask if we have any ex parte on this item. I have talked with one individual, but nothing of particular import that affects my decision this evening. With that, we will move on to, or move over to, our planning manager, Ms. Gleason.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We're just bringing up that presentation for you.
Thank you.
She's working on it. Thank you, Abby. So we have an item before you this evening that you've seen a couple times before. This is kind of a new proposed application to amend the Grand Oaks Paseo Master Plan of Development. Just a little bit of background on the project. We first saw this project November 2019 when it was approved with a small lot subdivision that included a lot of cottage homes, a community building, and a live-work component as well. The community building had some flexible gathering space within it and was just kind of a single-story building along the frontage of the project. To date, they've completed a large majority of the project. There are 20 units that are final and have families living in them. There are 5 cottage units that are nearing completion, and then the construction work did start on the live-work building. So they did request some revisions back in 2023, last year. That project did make it all the way to council. At the council meeting, the applicant stated that if they could build the original project, they would be able to build out the community building, which is one of the requested amendments. They had requested not to build that community building, but they were able to move forward with the original plan after that meeting. The residents did have some kind of concerns with the construction of a unit on Lot 14. It wasn't shown on the marketing that was put out by the applicants, and it would have been in a significant location for a couple of the residents that had purchased homes in that area. So the applicants did go back and work with the Homeowners Association on a revised amended plan that would eliminate that unit and make some modifications to the rest of the project. So the proposed amendments this evening do eliminate that unit 14, which is kind of in the center. I don't know if I have a laser that works. Center of the open space area there. And modifying the community building to include 2 additional residential units. So this increases the project's feasibility with the elimination of that unit 14. And allows the community building to move forward financially as well. They're also requesting elimination of the carport that was originally proposed over the residential tandem parking spaces. So some specific details about what would happen if Unit 14 were eliminated. There's kind of a new central patio space that is a paved area. It includes a barbecue for the residents, some fire pit tables, some dining tables, some seating, and a shade structure. The original plan included a large deck under the existing oak tree. That oak tree is in a state of decline from construction and from some of our harsh summers that we've had in the last couple of years. And so the improvements under that oak tree have really been minimized to try and save that tree. In terms of the community building, the footprint is relatively the same as what was originally proposed, with the 2 residential units added above it. So these currently are part of the same lot, so they would be rental units. The applicant does have the option to come back and make those condos if desired, which would become a part of the association or a tiered association within that. But currently it's just proposed as rental units. The community building has some specific amenities inside. It includes a small kitchen and 2 accessible restrooms. And then the rest of the space is kind of a flexible space for use by residents or other community members who would like to rent that space. They're using a variety of exterior materials which are consistent with the mixed-use building, so architecturally it is compatible. They're also requesting an amendment to the phasing plan. There's a lot of detail on this slide, but we wanted to make sure that you had that information. So we had a phasing plan authorized with the last amendment that included sort of a phased release of residential units to ensure that the community amenity space was constructed and provided. A lot of that phasing was tied to the start of construction of the community building. However, with the changes to the community building, they're going to need to go through a plan check again and get some revised plans drawn up, which I understand are in the works already. But they are requesting modification to the phasing plan. They've already almost completed 5 of the cottage units and are requesting that those be released before start of construction of the community building so that they can maintain cash flow for the project. So the proposed phasing plan would then tie some of the units to start of construction of the live-work building, also permit submittal for the community building to ensure that that is on a path to move forward. The community building would actually become the last phase of the project under the revised phasing plan. And they would have to have roof nail shear inspection complete prior to completion of the last units. So that's significant investment in that building prior to release of the last units on site. But it does not necessarily guarantee full completion, but rather substantial investment. And then the bike storage would also be tied to the progress of the live-work building, which do have a residential component, so we believe that they will move forward. And then the bike storage would have to be finaled prior to the live-work building to ensure that that amenity is completed. Just a little bit of status, the live-work building, the permit has been issued for that, and the foundation is complete. We haven't really seen progress in the last few weeks on that building, however, so we don't know where that stands at this time. And then the community building is not yet submitted for permit, but we have been told that that is coming in shortly. Part of the request was also, the approval last time we were here was a bond for completion of that central amenity space. That bond would basically allow the city to call the bonds and have those spaces built if they weren't built in a timely fashion. That bond has come up, and that bond did include the original deck. So with these improvements, they're requesting that we extend the bond for 2 months past the date of this approval, which would be September 9th. We would be requesting a new cost estimate with that to ensure that the costs of the amenity could be fully covered with that bond amount. So just in summary, the proposed amendments are to amend the master plan of development. Also included is amending the PD overlay zone language just to allow for that one additional unit. We also made some modifications to the uses listed as we did with the Dove Creek project to make them match our current use table definitions because there were some changes since the original approval. Some modification to that phasing agreement and then updating the bond agreement to include the new proposed amenities. As always, the council has a few alternatives as listed in your staff report. And Planning Commission does recommend that the City Council introduce the ordinance for first reading to make the amendments to Plan Development Overlay 27 and approve the amendments to the Grand Oaks Master Plan of Development as proposed. And that concludes staff's presentation. We're available for questions, and I believe the applicants are in the audience as well.
Thank you, Ms. Gleason. I will look to my council members for questions. Council Member Borbo.
Yes, Kelly, thank you for a great presentation as usual. Can you go back to the slide though on the timing, on the timing of the release of units in those conditions? I just wanted to make sure, I think you explained this, I want to make sure I understood it correctly. There we go. On the last one, regarding they would have to, in terms of the bike storage, they would have to get that all done prior to the live-work unit being completed or the residential units in the live-work building being released. What does that last one mean?
Prior to the whole live-work building being finaled. So that building would be finaled all as one. So while they're technically on individual lots and have that little 6-inch gap separation, it gets built as one building.
Okay. And so the community building would have to be finished before the last two units, which would be the two units on top of the community building, before those two units could be released for sale or occupancy, they'd have to finish the community building.
I would have to look a little bit more detail. I think the two units that we're referring to are the additional two cottage units. So right now they have five cottage units. We're willing to release three with some progress on the live-work building, and then the remaining two with roof nail shear inspection of the community building. So not quite final.
Okay. And then, but the live-work building, obviously, the units in the live-work building wouldn't be released until the building is completed.
Yeah, we could make sure that is written in there.
And by then the community building would be done.
Correct.
So all of the community amenities would be done prior to the ability to sell or rent the last residential units.
The live work, yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure of. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk, followed by Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you. I just want to follow up on Councilmember Borbeau's questions. and clarify for the space that you referred to as the central patio space, for which the incentive for completion is the bond. How does that work into the timing of that and the proposed change in the timing of that bond work into the phasing amendment here?
Sure. So the bond portion is somewhat separate from the phasing. So a bond has a very specific timeline and moves forward regardless of what they're doing with the rest of the project. So they would have 2 months to receive the permit and complete construction of the patio area, or the city will call the bond and complete those improvements through that process.
Okay, so likely that, so that would have to be, would be taken care of prior to most of any of this actually getting completed. They potentially could final a couple of the units that are pending.
You potentially could. Yeah. They are, I believe, at foundation inspection for the live-work buildings. They haven't yet submitted the permit for the community building, but it's possible that those three units could be released before the central patio space is done.
Okay, but the final units could not?
Correct.
That being the final two cottage units and the two units above the community building.
Yeah, it would be highly unlikely that they could get all of that stuff done in the next 2 months.
Right. Okay. And the extension, the nature of the extension that you were, that is being requested on that bond, is it, are we at the call date now? Is that the problem?
Yes, we're pretty much at the call date now, and that the original bond was for the deck, which is not part of their revision and not something that the HOA was particularly gung-ho for if this gets approved.
Okay. And then speaking of the HOA, can you confirm that the, you know, as presented in the staff report, that the agreements, you know, leading to this package of recommendations were developed with the in conversation with and with the approval of the Homeowners Association of those existing residents?
Yeah, we have been in contact with the Homeowners Association, so I know that they did work with the Homeowners Association on some of these amendments. We did specifically ask for an email that stated their approval or endorsement of the plans, and we did receive that. So we do believe that they are in full support of this request.
Okay, thank you.
Can you go back to the map? And I wanted to look at it and see which units are not complete. It's hard to tell with the numbers on here, or do you know?
It's hard to tell, so, and I don't think this pointer is fabulous. Let me. So these two units are currently not finaled.
Which ones?
Here, these cottage, can you see my little arrow?
We can't, oh, there we go. Okay.
It's tiny, probably.
So on the top, the one, yep, by the, oh, no, the two by the front?
And now buttons are moving by themselves. Hold on.
I'm glad it's happening to you because my iPad starts going off and saying things to me and I am not touching it. So there's just something going on in the air tonight.
Yes, there is.
Siri's listening to us.
Oh boy. And then these three cottages here are not yet finaled.
Okay.
They're still under construction.
Three in front of the patio area.
Yes.
Okay. The two on the back, three on the patio area.
And then, of course, the live work is just at foundation, and they have not started the community building yet.
In the front. But
yes.
All of the back side and the ones on the other side of the tree are all done.
Yes, with the exception of that unit 14 that is shown on this plan, but which they're requesting to eliminate.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The two units that you said are moving to the top of the community building, you indicated they won't be for sale, but they'll be rent. Is the intention to rent those out for housing, or is it short-term rental? Do you know what the intention is?
I don't know their intention at this point. I do believe that they intend to submit for a condo map to allow them to be for sale in the future. Again, I don't know if they intend to do short-term rental or not. That could be something that the council could consider in either direction.
Okay. I think that's a good thing to talk about. Other questions of staff before we go to
just
public comment?
Follow on to what you just asked, Mayor, and that is there were no conditions in the original approval regarding allowing or not allowing short-term rentals? I thought they weren't allowed. But
I don't think we did that in 2019.
That's why I'm wondering. It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
But the intention was always for these to be, you know, owner-occupied, you know, places for you know, people who needed affordable housing.
Sure.
Okay. All right, any last questions? All right, we'll go ahead and open up to public comment, and if the applicants would like to come up first, feel free. If there's anything that you wanted to say, you don't have to, but you're more than welcome. And any other members of the public wishing to speak, please come forward.
Hello, good evening. My name is Ted Lawton, and really just want to say thank you to Kelly and the Planning Department for their amazing job of working with us and working with our residents. It has been quite a journey, but I think as of late, it's been a positive one. I think we have turned the page in a very positive way. And just to kind of help answer the question, yes, this is affordable by design for ownership. There's not plan of short-term rental. I believe the CC&R state, there are no short-term rentals allowed. We couldn't condition the rental because I think California state law doesn't allow us to do that, but we did say no short-term rentals, and the idea is we are working on a condo map in order to sell the units. So that's our intent.
Thank you. Any questions of the applicant?
Just want to double check because you know there have been issues of regarding time phasing, timing, release of units. You fully understand the timing, the phasing, and the conditions for the release of the units as described by Ms. Gleason?
We do. We do. And it's reasonable. We have to work with our lender to on the funding, right? So you have seen us the slowdown on the live work building, and it was because we weren't sure what phasing was going to happen. So, and the same thing with the landscaping. We haven't proceeded with that because, again, we weren't sure if it was going to get approved or not. But hopefully tonight we do get the answers we're looking for so that way we can start the process again and keep the project moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
So what kind of time with, if this plan is approved tonight as proposed, what can we and the residents expect in terms of the timing for the completion of the project?
Again, that's going to be dependent on our funding, right? So I don't have a crystal ball. If I had all the funding I needed right now, end of year is possible. We also are going through the permitting process, so it is contingent on the city's ability to process the project. So it is a little bit contingent there. However, the planning department has been super supportive in saying, hey, how can we help expedite this? So I have a feeling that it will go relatively quick. Our goal is still to try to get this thing done by the end of the year. That's our goal. But again, it's contingent on these things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can we count on you to complete the amenities, the central patio space that replaces Unit 14, and not have the city have to yank your bond?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean landscaping goes pretty quick, so out of any of the scope of work, landscaping's a quick one.
Yeah, well, it's hardscape and yeah, other things that are part of that.
Totally.
Okay.
Yep.
And when we addressed at the last meeting, and I believe you were present, we addressed the Dove Creek commercial project and Dove Creek mixed use, and in that project there were 21 units that were slated to be sold as condos, and one of the conditions this council placed on that project was that those could not be used as short-term rentals units. Would you be comfortable with that same condition?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's, again, that our intent is not to do short-term rental. It's to sell, and we're trying to create affordable housing for members of Atascadero and mm-hmm. County of San Luis Obispo.
Okay, it helps the character of the neighborhood
sure.
in that close space to keep that commitment.
Agreed.
All right, I'm not seeing any other questions. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak on this item?
Sorry, I probably already should have been right behind him. My name's Corey Jones. I'm a resident of Atascadero. You've seen me here before, but I'm just here to advocate on behalf of the families that are invested in the project and to, request that council moves forward with the Planning Commission's recommendation to adopt this amended phasing plan. The nature of our investment within this project is tied up until project completion. So we've been involved in this project since 2020. We all anticipated receiving our funds back in about a year to a year and a half. And at this point, it kind of goes beyond far what we anticipated from a financial standpoint. So obviously we're fortunate enough to be investors, so it's not true hardship, but some hard things may fall upon various families that are involved. And I understand that the nature of the release of the next three COs will waterfall the project into the following phases, and if that's held up, then additional investors are going to have to come in that are going to take precedent over the initial families that have less of a claim. So I don't want to put too much external pressure on you. I understand the city's got to adhere to standards and make sure that you get the project done to the standards that you see fit. I just wanted to voice on our behalf and make that request. And overall, it looks like we're close, 80% of the way there. Hopefully the affordable housing in acute fashion is done for the city shortly, and we're all on to the next things in our lives. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak? If you're wanting to speak, go ahead and come over and line up. No reason to wait.
Good evening. My name is Olivia Montiano.
If you could come closer to the microphone.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Is that better? My name is Olivia Montiano. I'm a resident of Grand Oaks Paseo since April of 2022. And I just wanted to share my support for the amended plans being considered this evening. As you know, they were created in collaboration with city staff based on input and concerns from homeowners raised over the original plans. And so I just wanted to, contribute my support. I also wanted to thank the council and the staff and the volunteers of the Planning Commission. Kelly Gleason in particular has been just a steadfast source of expertise and credible information and guidance to my neighbors and I with our many questions these multiple years now. So thank you. I appreciate you. And please do consider the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, miss. Anyone else wishing to speak? All right, seeing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to council. And I have had a request for a 5-minute break. So let's do that and we'll be back in five. Okay, so the council is back from a short break, and we have just, we had finished up public comment on this B1 public hearing item, and now it's back to council. So let's see. The one thing I would like to see is that we do take those two units, and even though the intention is not to short-term rental them, I would like to put something in to make sure that that those don't become short-term rentals, and so staff would have the wording for that. I think Mayor Pro Tem Funk would be interested in that. Would we have a general consensus on that? Okay.
Yeah, we could use the same language we used.
Last time. Not last time, because last time we said owner, so yeah, no short-term rental. Okay, and any other issues, items, points of discussion?
I just wanted to comment that, you know, we weren't in the room when this sausage was made, but I want to compliment the staff, the developer, and the Homeowners Association for coming together and coming up with a what seems to me a very reasonable solution to the issue of at hand here regarding not building Unit 14 and having something viable for the developer to replace it. So I want to applaud everybody from my perspective of you know, you came together, you made a good set of sausage here that's very viable in my mind. And I'd be ready to make a motion if no one else has comment.
I think we would be ready.
Okay, then I will move that we introduce for first reading the draft ordinance and a draft resolution regarding amendments to the master plan for this item with the addition of the short-term rental condition described by the mayor.
Was there another change or anything in there that you needed us to include?
I don't think there was another change. I think we received your direction on the phasing plan to make sure that we were tying the community building final to the live-work building final, and we'll include that.
Okay, so we have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau and a second Councilmember Darez. Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darez?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fung?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, sir.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to council announcements and committee reports. I will go from my left to my right. Start with Councilmember Darez.
I have nothing to report.
I have nothing to report.
On Thursday, Councilmember Darez and I will be involved in the design review committee. This will be the DRC look at what this council, that the Del Rio Ranch project substantially, you know, the council has seen this fairly recently and at a very conceptual level. So this is working through that official approval process and opportunity for the community to weigh in on on those particulars. And then Homeless Services Oversight Council meets a week from Wednesday. This shouldn't be a super heavy decision-making meeting, but part of what we're going to be looking at will include understanding the way changes in the state budget and shifting around of funds of various things as that develops affect the scope of services being offered locally. It's complicated because the funding landscape is not just what money goes to the homeless services organizations for their direct services, but it's also the programs that are used to create down payments for people so that family of five can get into housing. And some of those come through other state programs, and there are differences in how different things are affected. So we're going to try and sort through that a little bit and get a better understanding of how our community moves forward most effectively.
Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you. Despite not sitting at the dais the last month, I have been busy doing council committees. Was at the League of California Cities Zoom meetings the last week and this week, getting the legislative briefings. June, I had the pleasure of being in Washington, D.C., and got to meet with Congressman Panetta to understand the inner workings of our 19th district and his representation of our community, which was a blessing. As you all know, I've been missing for a little bit, and being an elected official is always a challenge of balancing public office and maintaining a private life. In doing so, my family wants to acknowledge that we are very blessed to have a wonderful sister of mine who did a selfless act. And gave the gift of life to my husband. My husband was a organ recipient, and if any of you choose to give the gift of life to someone, you can go to donatelife.net. It's always hard to share that story, and for many of you, including my city family and the Atascadero Fire Department, have watched us over the years. And it's always very honoring to sit here and know that I can sit at the dais and make a world of difference in somebody else's life. And yet all of you made a world of difference in my life. And the challenges are, is to take the emotion out of it.
and say thank you without crying. And many of you have seen me cry numerous times because I'm a very passionate person. My husband wanted to keep this private, but it only takes one of you to save a life. And in my case, it was my sister. My husband has been recovering for the last few weeks and will survive thanks to this wonderful world and technology that we live in, as well as the medical teams throughout the state of California that have helped us, the Atascadero Fire Department, and a big shout out to Mercy Air Paso team so that Atascadero News can print why I'm not here. It's because of them that flew my husband to San Francisco and gave him one more chance at being able to spend time with us and our children. So with that, thank you. And we're very excited to be back on the dais. If I come and go, you all know why. Because I'm out celebrating the importance of every day. Because we have to live in the moment, because tomorrow's not promised. But thanks to D20, I got to check out some really cool technology to a huge crew who is always coming to my rescue with smiles. So thank you to them. I do still owe them a drink in my saloon. And there is an open invitation for anybody else that has been by our side that I've failed to mention, and that I am truly blessed.
Thank you for sharing that, and we love you, and we're so glad that you and your family are healthy and healing. Love you. And yes, being able to share that story, you never know who that one person might be impacted, so thank you for that. I too got to meet with Congressman Panetta recently and thank him for his advocacy in terms of funding our downtown infrastructure enhancement and also moving forward with some potential funding for our police station. Excited about, I'm so glad that we have elected officials at the state and the federal level that actually take an interest in the communities that they represent. I think we're really, I'm grateful for that. We're lucky to have that here in Atascadero on the Central Coast. So thanks to Congressman Panetta. And with that, I will ask, I don't see any, there goes that iPad again. It keeps doing its thing. I don't see any individual determinations or actions.
I was going to make a comment. I really wanted to thank the staff for their professionalism and their approach on the item A3 that we pulled and had a revised recommendation on. It shows their willingness to go the extra mile to look into things and, see if there's a different answer and, and come forward with that. And I really want to appraise them for their approach, and I think we came up with a good answer.
And I think that's a wonderful note to end on. Meeting adjourned. Enjoy the summer recess.